Morning, church. Take your Bibles and turn me to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 6. And before I really get started, I'm going to make one lap. Because I got to stay still for the rest of the time. Daniel 6, starting in verse 6. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, perfect satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce that decree that anyone that prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went upstairs in his home where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So I have been asked to speak Wednesday night at Bartlett Woods, which is Memphis, a congregation in Memphis, on Christians speaking boldly into the world today. I am going to give you a section of that lesson this morning. I am extremely nervous. I have prayed for wisdom, and I have prayed that I will articulate clearly what I want to say this morning. I don't want you to think that I am trying to join anyone's team or anyone's party. My goal today is to equip us as saints to do what God has asked us to do and to be who God has asked us to be. Tuesday, I left my home to go to the mailbox. I have a mailbox here in Etheridge, the large metropolis. And as I'm nearing my wonderful post office, I see the Etheridge police officer in his little cruiser. And he's on the phone driving down the road. And he's laughing. So people like, could have been an emergency. Well, it was a funny emergency. For a minute, I thought to myself, like, I'm going to turn around and make a citizen's arrest right now. It's all fun and games till buildings start burning and people start pillaging. But let's be honest. Who here in the last 3 months has not wanted to riot? Who's not wanted to be a part of some uprising, some purpose, some reason, some meaning? I read about a group of 35 men in Michigan who were going to help a barber go against the mandate. So they gathered themselves and their tactical gear and their AR-15s, around 35 of them, and the barber opened. I have replayed that pre-dawn meal in my mind so many times. What were they talking about? Surely it didn't go like, "Dude, this haircut is worth me shooting someone for. This haircut that I'm going to receive today is worth dying for." I think more than likely the conversation was around freedom. I am going to uphold my personal freedom. And if it means death, so we die. If it means kill, so we kill. I am so thankful that nobody went to shut that barber down, that it didn't mean enough for people to go and try to go against all of that. So the barber opened and he cut hair that day. I've walked in a public area like you have had to, more than likely. I'm assuming you have. Let's just say the Walmarts. I'm not trying to advertise. Let's just say you've been in the Walmarts lately. Have you been going down an aisle and all of a sudden there was someone there who'd been smoking the same cigarette for about 3 years and they just got into it, you know? Immediately, I'm ready to draw up a sign, "Lock her up, lock her up." I'm ready to protest, right? Oh, I'm a smoker. But I'm just nervous, like you're in public and coughing, and that just should not be. I thought so much yesterday about Marty and Michelle, their heart, their life, their concern, their boy. I want to read a list to you. Over the last few years, police shootings that have caused riots. Now, this is not after a trial date. This is after the shootings occurred. Riots happened. Not trying to choose a team here. Not trying to do anything. I just want to show you some stuff. 2012, protesters clashed with police over two separate shootings in the city of Anaheim, Southern California. Manuel Diaz and Joseph Matthew Avado. July 17th, 2014, a cell phone recorded an unarmed black man, Eric Garner, repeatedly saying, "I cannot breathe, I cannot breathe," when a New York officer held him in a chokehold before his death in police custody. August the 9th, 2014, an 18-year-old African-American, Michael Brown, was shot dead by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, sparking 2 weeks of unrest and clashes. April 2015, Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old African-American, died in a Baltimore hospital after he was arrested for possessing what the police allegedly called a switchblade knife. His death sparked protests and riots in Northeast United States. August 13, 2016, a confrontation between police and protesters turned violent in Milwaukee in the Midwest U.S. state of Wisconsin after a police officer killed an armed 23-year-old African-American trying to escape from two police officers. September 20, 2016, Keith Lamont Scott, a 40-year-old African-American, was fatally shot by police in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, southeastern United States, sparking protests by African-Americans against racial discrimination. June 19, 2018, Antoine Rose Jr., a 17-year-old African-American teenager, was shot three times in the back by an East Pittsburgh police officer and fled this car. And it caused weeks and weeks of riots and protest. The one that we're currently dealing with, the killing of George Floyd, an unarmed 46-year-old black man in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, let me be very clear. I have not investigated not one of these situations. And I do not in any form or fashion even think that I can empathize with any of this. I do not know what it is like to be a police officer. I have problems with anxiety already. I cannot imagine riding around in a car all day long knowing that there is a possibility today is the day I get shot or I have to shoot. And if I can admit that, at least I can also say that it must be a nervous thing to be an African American in our country. Again, I don't want you to think that I know anything about either one of these situations in any of these stories. And I've thought this through so many times about what it is and how do God's people speak into this situation. And in the current place that we are all in the world right now that we are in, you think about the beginning month of 2020, Australia was on fire. That had to be the story of the year, right? It's not the story of the year. My dad told me yesterday that there were 400 new cases of coronavirus in Mississippi. Mississippians do not social distance well. It's scary. People are mad. People are angry. And if you want a conspiracy theory, this is the time to live. All you have to do is just get online. People are mad. People are angry. Yesterday, I heard someone say, if it just would have been a peaceful protest. There is nothing right about doing wrong, ever. Burning, stealing, these things, it's poor behavior, it's bad behavior, it is wrong. And at no point would God's children ever condone such behavior. But I also don't believe in my heart that if it would have been peaceful, it would have been okay. Again, I'm choosing no side here. But I think back to a man who no longer has a job in the NFL. My mom cannot get his name right. His last name is Kaepernick. Remember, he took a knee. And whole purpose, it started in 2013 with Black Lives Matter. Then we all screamed, All Lives Matter. Then two police officers were shot in Ferguson. And then it was Blue Lives Matter. But Colin taking a knee got everyone in our country so angry. After this week, I wonder if people are as angry anymore. At a knee, I get that he was speaking to a lot of people against our troops, and I understand that. I don't think I ever have a right to say anything about our troops if I'm not personally willing to suit up and get a gun and go somewhere, and I'm not. And so I'll never say anything bad about those people in any form or fashion. But I also think about the excuse that we've used over the last couple of days, if it just would have been peaceful. You see, I never heard anyone in my town that was not a police officer talk good about police officers. I didn't. I mean, it wasn't something the folks I grew up with did. Like, boy, we love the police officers. But you have to remember my childhood. I was doing bad stuff. I didn't want to see the police officers. But then around 2012, 2013, when Black Lives Matter, the people that I hung out with started loving police officers. And I couldn't understand it at first. And then I began to correlate things. They hated something more. They hated something more. I don't know what it is like for any of the people that are in this situation. But what I do know is God's children, we have got to stop adding fuel to any of it because we are guilty. We are guilty of perpetuating the evil and the hate that is taking place. When you get angry and you go online and you begin to pin words pro, against, I really don't care, I'm apathetic, any of these words are going out forth from you as words that matter. I looked at this word boldly for quite a while, and I want to give you some stuff to see what we're talking about here. Immediately, when my mind goes to the word boldly, I'm thinking New King James, the New American Standard Version of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. This is a good word. The problem with this word is it takes quite a few English words to define it. In Hebrews 4, 16, it says, let us approach, I'm reading from the NIV, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. More than likely in any of the other translations, it's going to say boldly. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The first thing that we can see quite clearly about boldly here is it does not, in any form or fashion, have arrogance in it. We do not walk before God with power. We do not walk with God with demands. We walk before God understanding a confidence because he has promised he will give. Same book later on, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 36. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve so that when you have done all, when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Again here, this boldly is an understanding that God is going to do for his children what he says he is going to do. We can have confidence and we can approach him with that confidence. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 11 through 13. This is what's called in the Greek the alpha privy, but we call it an un. So you do or you undo. You understand? So the un here in the Greek would be an alpha. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was a widespread whisper about him. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. This whole thing here, publicly and fear, has to do with this one word here. It's the negative of confidence and boldly. They won't speak because they're afraid of the masses. Colossians 2, verses 13 and following. When you were dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive again in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having concealed the charge of our illegal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Same word. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. This word boldly here is saturated in what Paul says, that we do nothing in our life out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen childish behavior and have personally acted childish over some things that occurred in church. And how I've had to grow up, and I've had to watch other people grow up or move on. But God has called us to be bold and confident in what he has promised us to do. And that means, as God's children, we can speak with confidence to God and he will give. And we can also go out into the world not afraid of others, but speak with a confidence in that situation too. That doesn't give us a right ever to be ugly, to act poorly, to be lawbreakers. My wife posted something this week that resonates with this situation, and she talked about the Bible, because the Bible tells me so. But in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Proverbs 82, 3, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and defend the oppressed." I do not know what it is to be a minority. And if I'm being honest, my prayer is, I don't ever want to know what it is to be a minority. Even though maybe around 16 or 17, I probably scratched the anarchy symbol a few places on a notebook, thought it was cool. At no point in my adult life do I think anarchy is cool. I don't want lawlessness. I want us to have laws, and I want people that will help us uphold those laws. And I want to respect that position with all of my heart. And most importantly, no matter whether it be a minority or someone who enforces the law, I want to be God's child. And I want to speak with confidence in the world that my words are not formed from prejudice, from a position already formed in my mind of hatred, of mean or ugly. Some things I think that we can do to speak in the current situation in the world in which we live, and to do it boldly, are as follows. Number one, always do right, but always try to not be seen. Now, this is one that's interesting to me. Now, I don't mean that I don't want you to go out into the world like do right only when people are not looking. I love what Daniel did. Daniel did the ultimate protest in the Old Testament, and he didn't do it with a bullhorn. He didn't do it screaming about personal rights or personal liberties. He just went to his room. He was a child of God that he was born to be. There was no law that was ever going to stop him from talking to his Creator. There was no law that was going to stop him from worshiping God. At the same time, he felt no need to make t-shirts or pendants or pins or to do a march or to write. He simply did what was right. And eventually, you'll never believe this, it changed the world. And it changed the law in which he lived in. Sometimes our protest should never leave our room. Again, I want to state clearly, this is not a joke for me, even though I tried to throw humor in here. I have wanted to protest over so many things lately. I've wanted to protest all kinds of stuff. And it's weird stuff. More than likely, it's not the stuff that you wanted to protest. the walkways and the directional things in buildings are now so complicated for me. I'm nervous when I walk in. I'm afraid that I'm not going to do it right. I know most people probably don't care which way they walk, but I want to do right. I know that may be hard to believe. I make enough trouble for myself obeying the rules. I don't want to break the rules to add to my troubles. So I get anxiety walking in there. So I've been protesting the directional things. Please just take them down. Because even though others aren't going to obey them, I'm going to obey them. I don't like rules, but if they're there, I think they're to be kept. Sometimes we should just protest at home. There's no need for me to get on Facebook or to gram instantly or to tweet, you know, or to top tick, whatever it is. I don't need to get out there and be like, this is a crazy, these people are crazy. Just do my thing. Pray to God for some sanity in my own life and for his will to be take place. And this is something else about those social media platforms that I want to be very clear about. We need to do better, so much better in this area. Do not add anything that is fuel to the current ugly that is taking place in the world in which we live. This has been one of the craziest years I have experienced in my life. Puberty was rough, and I tell this joke all the time to kids, but it was real for me. When you could wake up and a pimple could ruin your day, that was just not a good year for me. It wasn't a good year for me. My voice kept squeaking and I hated it and people would make fun of me and I wanted to get in trouble for that. It just wasn't a great year. This is that level for me where we are right now. And not only this year, but these last 2 weeks have been crazy. I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet, but I've been telling you for a long time that my heart is afraid of the language that we're using about our country, that we're not a divided country, we're two countries. And if we continue down the road that we're going, we're going to see something that we thought would never happen again. We're going to see a civil war, and it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. So as God's children, don't do anything to add to the fuel of the ugly. If you can get on there and say something that is fun, that's okay. I've told you before, I cannot be on social media because I would be trolling everyone. Everyone, every time someone posted something crazy and mad, I'd just add something like, what about Bill Clinton, you know, just to get them to go off for another 3 hours. That's just who I am, and I can't do it. And that's why I shouldn't be on there, because I can't add any good to the situation. We need to always stand for those who do not have a voice. Let me be very clear again. I may be sympathetic to the African-American plight in our country, but I can never be empathetic. I don't know what it is to be black, and I never will. But I do know that they continually are screaming about injustice and systemic problems within our country. And we continue to not listen and not hear. And it seems like every time it gets to this level of escalation, it's gone just a little bit further and a little bit further. We may need to understand that we all need to stop and evaluate. Maybe we have prejudice. Maybe we have some prejudice that we have not seen, that we have not paid attention to. And this goes both ways. Cody would definitely want me to say this. Maybe some of us have some bitter resentment toward police officers too, that we need to deal with in our own life, in our own walk. And we need to calm down and understand that we need to do what's right to all of these causes. And God has constantly told us that we need to pay attention to the widow, the orphan, and the alien. James, his own brother, goes so far to say that pure and undefiled religion is this, that you help the widows and the orphans. We need to make sure that we are always trying to do our best to give a voice for those who do not have a voice. We need to also make sure that we are also personally evaluating some prejudice. I want you to hear me well. I believe politics is one of the most important things that occurs in our country. But over the last 3 months, if you've spent more time talking about politics than you have God, you may need to reevaluate your life. Your priorities may not be where they ought to be, and God may need to get back into the throne of your life and lead it further. I hope that you've heard me today. I hope that you understand, again, I'm not trying to join any party in any of these situations. I just want us to know as God's people, for us to speak with the confidence that God has promised us, at the same time going into a world which is currently chaotic and doing our best to shine light on peace, on grace, on mercy, on understanding, and not being guilty of throwing stones or adding fuel to the ugly that is going on in this world. This morning, church, if there is sin in your life and you need to do something about it, you could come now as we stand and sing.